Merry Christmas, everyone. My name is Noel, and I have the great pleasure of serving as one of the pastors at Riverview. And I'm also a guy who loves Christmas. I love everything about this season, the songs, the smells, the sweaters, the lights, and I love that you're joining us for our Christmas special. Every year, we host a Christmas Eve service at Riverview, and it's always one of my favorite times of the whole year. I love that many of you come wearing your Christmas finest, whether that is your fancy sweater with the blinking lights and the reindeer, or matching PJs or Santa hats. And our family decided that even though we're not going anywhere, we're still dressing up, because that's what we like to do on Christmas Eve. But if you decided to wear your comfy clothes, that's great with me too. I'm just glad that you're here. And by the way, if you want to show off your Christmas outfits, make sure you tag Riv Church on the socials so that we can at least try to see each other. Because what we've tried to do today is to capture as much of the festive and joyful spirit that makes our Christmas Eve services so much fun every year. We're going to go all over the Lansing area singing Christmas carols, reading scripture, hanging out in the snow, and joining you, the Riverview fam, for Christmas Eve. And so if you got one of these boxes from us earlier this week, you might have noticed that we even threw in a couple of these little twinkly lights. And so grab these, don't turn them on yet, because you will need them later. And if you didn't get a box from us, just find whatever sparkly light you have sitting around the house. And I know this is weird, but let's do our best to celebrate together. So grab some hot cocoa or eggnog, sing along with us. And by the way, if you turn the music up loud enough, you won't hear yourself singing, and it'll be exactly like church. So dance if you want to dance to the upbeat songs, listen to the Christmas story, and let's just enjoy this hour together. Christmas is all about the joy and hope we have in Jesus, and that's something worth celebrating. So sit back or stand up, sing along, and enjoy a very Riverview Christmas special.
is one of my favorite holidays, and it's about giving. I'll tell a story. Jesus' birthday,
they have to go on a trip.
They have to walk and have the donkey.
Brilliant.
All the other buildings were full of people.
Not safe.
The angel said, "You're going to have a baby, and you will name him Jesus."
Joseph said, "What? Mary's going to have a baby?"
What? True.
My favorite things are when we snuggle up together and watch Christmas movies.
Baking cookies.
And have hot cocoa.
Opening presents isn't really a tradition.
Feels like Christmas and snow.
We can't get together, all of us.
Hope looks like when I'm in my bed and when it's dark, it makes me scared. So I say to Jesus, "Please help me not to be scared." You know, it makes me scared. I sometimes be brave. Because he's the mighty king who did everything. He made lots of people what did stuff.
He wants to live with us and be with us.
Mm-hmm. He needed to be born to say the oath.
And then he grew up to be Jesus.
The end.
God never will stop loving you.
And it's about giving.
God loves to everyone, and it's Jesus' birthday.
Happy birthday to Jesus. Happy birthday to
Baba.
sings with a voice as big as the sea.
A child, shivers in the cold. Let us bring you silver and gold.
A child, sleeping in the night. He will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
Eyes of angels, singing exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come let us adore. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him in Christ the Lord. For the wonder, star of night, O star with glory and worthy guide. For he alone is worthy. He guides us in the perfect light.
We give him all the glory. We give him all the glory. We give him all the glory. Christ the Lord.
I don't know about you, but Christmas songs are hitting a little different this year. I mean, think about the very first line in the last song that we just sang. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. This classic song is beckoning us to come to Jesus, which is awesome. But in the process, it uses three words to describe us: faithful, joyful, and triumphant. And I don't know about you, but to me, those words just don't seem to stack up to the reality of life in 2020. But this is the true beauty of Christmas. None of those words, faithful, joyful, triumphant, can really describe us when the world appears to be crumbling around us apart from Jesus. Because he came to earth as a child, and because this child became a man whose precious life and brutal death took away the sins of the world, he showed himself to be the one who was faithful, the author of joy, the source of our triumph. In fact, it says in 1 Thessalonians that because Jesus is faithful, he will be the one to strengthen us and to guard us. And so what that means for us now is that when our reality doesn't seem to reflect the peace on earth that God has promised through Jesus, we can still know that that peace resides in us. And one day, it will thoroughly saturate every speck of a new heaven and a new earth. This year's Christmas season is different, but maybe there's something in 2020 that will allow us to hear the Christmas story's truths in fresh and powerful ways. Perhaps we will get a new spark of the hope that we have in Jesus. So listen again, maybe for the millionth time, to the story of the God who loved us so much that he became like us so that we may become like him.
For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace.
Come, thou long expected Jesus. want to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. You want thy people to live. Born a child to get a king, born to reign forever. Now thy gracious kingdom brings. By thine all eternal spirit, hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Born thy people to deliver, born a child to knit a king, born to reign forever. Thy gracious kingdom, born thy people to deliver, born a child to knit a king, born to reign forever. Now thy gracious kingdom brings. Come now.
Angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing will be impossible with God." "See, I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said."
The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him.
Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in a cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors."
Here's the thing. I think a lot of people, when they think about Christmas, they feel like that's just a kid's story. You know, it's just this cute thing where you've got a baby in a manger and you sing these songs. But if they're going through a really hard season of life, like they just lost their job or they lost a loved one, or they can't go visit family right now or somebody's sick, they might be like, okay, presents are nice, but like, how does the story of Christmas help me? So that's really what we're going to talk about. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm. Sound good? Yeah.
So let's just recap what Luke tells us, okay? This is what Luke is saying. He says, Mary, you're favored. God is with you. But yet she is deeply troubled. She's freaked out. We know that Joseph is freaked out too. They're worried about the future. They don't know what's happening. And so the angel says, don't be afraid, right? You'd be freaked out if you had an angel show up. And the angel's like, but don't be afraid. I'm cool. I come in peace. And then listen to the way that she responds to all that. Okay. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done according to your word. So she's like, all right, I'm in. So listen to this. This is what the Bible said about Mary and Joseph. They were afraid. They were confused. They were worried about the future. And they were deeply, deeply troubled. That actually describes a lot of people right now. We're afraid. We're confused. We're worried about the future. And we're deeply, deeply troubled. And for Mary and Joseph, it kind of was worse, because they were already very poor people. Mary was very young. And in their society, having a baby without being married could cause a lot of shame. Like, they could be rejected. People could look down on them. Yeah, they kind of like wouldn't be looked at in a favorable way. But the angel kept saying, God is with you. God has favored you. God has picked you. God has chosen you. And so I think one of the things that encourages me is that when everything for them felt out of control, they focused on God. Because does God have control? So they trusted in the God that they knew, who had control, and when all they could see was the bad stuff, they knew that God saw them, and they knew that God saw the future, God saw their circumstances, and they're like sitting around saying, I don't know what's going on right now, but somehow God's gonna do something good with it. Right now, people are lonely. They're sad. Some people have lost jobs. Some people have lost people in their family, right? So there's a lot when we look around and all that we can see, sometimes it seems like there's just a lot of bad news. And I think it's partly we feel hopeless when all we do is just look around at our situation. And if we got a bad situation, we don't have a lot of hope and we feel out of control. And when you hear the word hope, what do you think the word hope is?
So, like, to me, hope means something to, like, be happy about.
Yeah.
Like, to know that it's going to be okay a little bit.
So you're thinking about, like, something in the future.
Yeah.
And you're kind of, like, are doing even more than wishing that things are, like, you're expecting that something could be good. Like, I hope I get this amazing Lego set for Christmas, right? You're kind of expecting that it's going to happen. Here, it seems like she believed in God. She believed in what God said. And what's interesting is just a few verses after this, she's going to sing this really famous song. It's like a praise song where, listen to a few of the things she says. I'll just read it. She says, "My soul praises the greatness of the Lord." So she saw God is great, right? "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." So she calls God. She counts on God to save her, not on the good things that she does. We all make mistakes. She made mistakes. But she trusts God that would cover all those mistakes because of who Jesus was and what Jesus would do, right? She says, speaking of God, "My spirit rejoices, not in my situation, but in God, my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant." So in the midst of a situation that's scary and unknown and bad, sounds a lot like 2020, Mary and Joseph find strength, especially Mary, because she knows that she has God's favor, she has God's presence, she has God's power and God's promises. So that's how, no matter what we're going through right now, if we believe in Jesus, we can receive God's ultimate present. We can have God's promises, his power, his favor, and that he can be with us in this time, just the way that he was with Mary. And so I think a lot of us, we panic when we realize we don't have control. But the thing is, what Christmas tells us is that we actually have a God who is in control and he has us in his grip. He loves us. He's taking care of us. He's going to solve our ultimate problem. Listen to this. I just want to read this. This thought came to mind from 1 Corinthians. Paul says this, and then he quotes the Old Testament. He's talking about spiritual wisdom. And I think what Mary and Joseph did ultimately was they practiced a wisdom because they believed in God's revealed message to them. But he says, "We do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery." And he's talking about the gospel. "A wisdom that God predestined before the ages for our glory." So God has our glory and our good in mind. Then he quotes Isaiah the prophet. And this is what Isaiah said. "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has conceived the good things that God has prepared for them." And so I think in 2020, one of the things that we can do is we can kind of look around. We can take a cue from Mary's playbook and be like, "I don't know what's going to happen with my situation. My situation might even look bad, but I know God is good. I know I have God's presence. We have God's power. We have the Holy Spirit, right? We have his promises. And a lot of them have already been fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus came, he died the death that we deserved, and he was raised from the dead, and we get to live forever. And so he invites us in a world that's so much bigger. And so mom and I, we were talking about, like, how do you explain, like, living life? And one of the ways that we thought, oh, it's like maybe going on a journey. I almost feel like, what would it have been like if you were traveling in the dark and you had a little lantern and all you could see is a few steps in front of you? And that's really frustrating because sometimes you want to know what's around the next corner or over the next hill. Will there be a place where we can stop and get water? Like, we want to know about that stuff, right? But the thing that she could do is just only put one foot in front of the other because that's all she could see. And so sometimes, especially in 2020, I feel like that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm walking in the dark and I want the light of day to come and I want my path to be easy and downhill and I want everything to go smooth. But sometimes all we have is just that little lantern light. It's just to take one faithful step, trusting that God has big stuff on the other side, and so that we can wait patiently and we can try to love God and trust God when we really can't trust our circumstances. Mary was favored by God. It says that she found God's favor. She didn't earn God's favor. And sometimes I feel like I have to earn God's favor. Like I want to be on the nice list, not the naughty list. But the thing is about God is he usually picks the unexpected things. He didn't pick somebody with a lot of power, somebody that was famous. He picked an ordinary person that most people would think would be forgettable and unimportant. And that's what God wants to do, is he wants to use humble people to do great things through them, because what God wants to do is he wants to spread out his power and his glory, and he wants to invite people in on his story. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that so many years ago you sent your son to be one of us, that he would live a perfect life, that you would give us the ultimate gift of yourself, that you would give us salvation through this humble baby. Lord, help us to be found to be people like Mary and Joseph, who didn't just focus on their situation and the bad things and the scary things that they could see, but they focused on the unseen Savior who saw all their circumstances, who was at work. Lord, help us to have a similar response when we encounter your message, that we look at that and we're like, I'm your servant. May it happen according to your word. God, we just pray for not just us as a family, but we pray for our church family and our friends and our country and this world right now, Lord, that we would not be people that freak out when we don't have control, but we would be people who trust that you are in control. And that if we accept you and your gift of faith and salvation, Lord, that we can have your presence, we can have your power, we can have your love and your promises, and we can be in on the mission that you have for us, God. So pray that this Christmas will be one that is truly special, that will really appreciate the gift that you've given us. We thank you for your son, Jesus, for what he did on the cross and what he will do for us in eternity. Because we have found his favor, not because we earned it, but because you're just so full of love and that you've shared it with us. Amen.
Yeah, as I think about hope defined as just a confident expectation, what I've seen in just my role as pastor and connecting with people is there's things that can happen, circumstances in people's lives that can affect their ability to find hope. When someone is hungry, or when they're isolated, or when they have uncertainty about their future, it can really start to call into question, do I really have hope, or where is my hope when there's tangible, real circumstances that are affecting the confidence someone has in their future. And it becomes incumbent, I think, upon the church to identify those points of need and to be very, very intentional, not wait for those populations of people to come toward us, but to be very, very strategic and intentional about how are we going to meet tangible needs. Because when someone is fed or they receive something in the mail or a person comes and even just has an hour-long conversation with them, it can begin to communicate the hope of the gospel. And so that's been our strategy at Riverview, really, is to identify strategic partners who are really, really targeting specific populations that we also care about. You know, this is a season for us to be able to say, let's communicate hope in a very, very tangible way. And so it's been our Christmas Eve tradition as a church family to give away any offering that we receive from the Riverview community, which is sort of just the way of Jesus, just to show up. I mean, really, that's what Jesus has done in our lives, is to enter into whatever chaos, whatever situation we are dealing with in our lives. And so we're going to introduce you as the Riverview family to these kind of two new strategic partners, the Weekend Survival Kit and City Rescue Mission. I would just encourage you to consider, as you're watching, to pray for these folks and to consider how you can be involved personally, whether it be with your finances or with your lives. And just grateful to be able to share the mission of these organizations with you.
How can food be an issue? It is. And in Michigan, it's 1 out of 7 kids deals with it. You go to Lansing, it's 1 out of 4, you know. So there's a huge need. And it could be circumstantial. It could be a short time period. Who knows? But it exists. Jeff Gorsline. I am blessed to be the executive director and founder of Weekend Survival Kits. I've been operating in this role for about 8 years now.
It's easy to sit here
you know, very well fed and blessed and taken care of. But if we removed all those things, then that's our baseline. Those are the things that we need to take care of first. Which is why at the mission, our focus is food, shelter, and hope. Really the basics. My name is Ben Newman. I'm the director of the men's shelter at the City Rescue Mission. I feel like we are attempting to be the hands and feet of Jesus and just really trying to help people. But we don't want to just help people for the sake of helping people. We want to help people with the goal of showing them the love of Christ.
When you think about food as a category in your house, there's things that we budget and categorize, right? If food is the issue, you will not pay for your medical, right? You will give things up. So what we're trying to do, though, is just take that stress and pressure off in that category. And I think in a lot of ways, when you talk about food and where am I going to get my next meal, many of them understand that they just won't. And so, you know, maybe it's how am I going to survive? And that's the moment when you realize, like, everything gets put into perspective at that point, because those kids have to grow up fast. They don't have a choice. And they have to completely adapt. And that's not fair.
So many homeless individuals have just sort of been looked down on for so long that it just wears on them. And, you know, it just sort of piles up the shame, you know, that you feel from other people. It's just sort of the lifestyle of being perceived, sort of a second-class citizen. You know, after a while, that really starts to wear on you.
It's just food. It's a means. We got to realize what it's doing for that child. That's the big picture. You know, in that instance, if you're deprived or that you're lacking some type of support and you don't have that hope idea, I mean, we always talk about trying to give hope. If you don't have that, but then you receive something that you know somebody took the time, that tells them that somebody does care. And don't give up. Giving them a chance to actually fight in school, keep up with their peers, do all the normal things, go try out for basketball and actually be able to, you know, all of those things. They need that. They need the ability to not have to worry about the little things. So, yes, I want to be able to provide access to food to those kids who need it. And not just during the school day, but the night as well as the weekend. I just want to make sure those kids get fed.
Obviously, we can't do any of what we do without the public support, whether that's just people's time or that's praying behind the scenes or that's financial.
I always use the term mobilizing the communities, right? You can't do it without it. It's one voice, right? We all have the same voice with the same cause, but it takes many hands.
You know, this is entirely how we operate. We have a lot of needs that we're not even prepared for.
We need that help because we're limited. We have that ceiling.
Financially, we never know what's around the next corner. We don't know what the need is going to be. And so when we have the financial resources to do that, we can push those towards the needs that kind of come up out of nowhere.
Why step in and want to help those that are vulnerable?
I've not ever felt like anything was missing in my life, but I felt like there was more to it. You know, and I think we as human beings owe it to other fellow human beings to help them out, period. If we could get to a place where just a fraction of people felt that way, I think this whole world would just have a different outlook. This organization, We Can Survival Kits, is a small way to make that happen.
We see a lot of guests who come in who are apprehensive. You know, they're either scared or there's some shame there or whatnot, and we really try to go to great lengths to remove any of that. Whatever may have happened in the past, outside of those walls, we don't have any control of. But I hope that for them, that the men, women, and children know that they are loved inside our building. And the reason they're loved is because of what Jesus has done for them and what he's allowed us to experience on a personal level. And that's why we're sharing that same love with them.
You know, I love that we give away our entire Christmas Eve offering each year. It's also why I feel so confident to encourage you to give and to give big, because every penny that comes in on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day is going right back out to support our strategic partners around the Lansing area. So if you would like to give, head over to rivchurch.com/give or text the number we've got on the screen and follow the prompts. You can do that anytime on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but please don't forget to do it. Now, the next song we're going to sing may very likely be a new one for you. So I want to encourage you to just sit and listen to the lyrics. Reflect on how a significant part of fulfillment comes in the waiting. Remember the truth that our deepest longing is met in Jesus coming to earth, and rejoice that our hope is made complete in Him. And then after that song, we're going to sing Silent Night together. Usually if we were in person, we would turn off all of our auditorium lights and we would sing the song with only our little twinkling lights on. So we're not going to let 2020 stop us. I want to encourage you to turn off all the lights in your house, except your Christmas lights, of course, as we sing Silent Night together.
The world waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come. Oh, come, Emmanuel. A child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh, come, Emmanuel. And can you longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace.
Christ the Savior is born. This is Christmas. Jesus Christ, our hope, our joy, and our gift of peace. And so, Merry Christmas to you and your family. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you join us for our online services each Sunday at 10 a.m. at rivchurch.com. And I'm looking forward to that day very soon when we will be able to see each other again face to face. Merry Christmas.